You know our slogan around here is better practice, better life. But we're taking this belief to the next level. And we've recently announced the creation of a new association. It's called the Best Practices Association. Our association celebrates the mindset that is better practice, better life. This mindset celebrates time, healthy living, personal growth, clinical excellence, and impacting the lives of your patients and your team through intentional leadership. In fact, we are the work-life balance experts in dentistry. The BPA will coach independent dental practices like yours to thrive by sharing best practices and operational habits, behaviors, systems, tools, and insight that lead to profitability and sustained growth, and you can still have a life. So if you're a dentist that wants to surround yourself with great thinkers, let us help you create your own version of better practice, better life. Go to actdental.com/BPA or hit the link in the show notes. Best Practices Show. This is Kirk Barrett, and I'm so excited to have you back. But I want to welcome you to the number one podcast on improving your practice with practical tips, tools, and all those great things to make a better practice and a better life. And if you're joining our show for the first time, you're going to see we're going to bring you some of the best information. We're going to be coming to you every single week, even in the midst of this really weird world that we live in, so that you guys can build a better practice and a better life. And if you're joining us for the first time, I want to do two things. Number one, I want to congratulate you for showing up and just making learning part of your day, because you're going to see this is a fun community where we never stop learning. And as these experts come on, they're going to be teaching us what they're seeing in best practices all over dentistry. And the second thing I want to do is just welcome you. So if you've never been to an ACT Dental event, either through the COVID conference or even our live events that we had in the past or anything we do, we want you to feel welcome here. And just feel free to contribute, ask great questions, and tell us what you want to see. And then also keep showing up for the other things that we do. We've got our ACT Dental U masterclasses. We also have a great coaching company. If you have questions about your practice and just need a little help or just somebody to talk to, feel free to reach out to us. And then lastly, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, whether that be Stitcher, iTunes, wherever, I'm going to ask you to subscribe, because you'll see we're going to keep bringing great things to you over and over again.
Yeah, fantastic. Thanks so much for having me. Greatly appreciate it. Thanks for the opportunity to talk with you and anybody who you're working with and that is in the community about whatever topics we end up touching on today. Greatly appreciate it. And so Engage Advisors is our organization, and we work with dentists across the country. And how we help them is really we help them make better financial decisions for their practice in certain key areas. And so one of them being CPA and advisory work, financial planning, investment management or wealth advisory, insurances of all kinds. So anything from life, disability to your property and casualty insurance as well. And we help them transition both into practice and out of practice as they look to sell their practice and transition to the next season of life. So really we're structured around really helping dentists make the best decisions possible in whatever facet and season of practice they're in at that point.
Yeah. Now, you and I have been friends for a long time. You are a great friend, but a mentor, and you guys have helped us a lot just trying to give dentists great advice on the financial side of things. And one of the things we're going to be covering today is the salary versus hourly thing. Now, this comes up a lot, and I am very opinionated on this, which, you know, everybody's got their own way of looking at this, but I want to talk first about why this is such an important topic. And it comes up a lot for us. I can imagine it comes up a lot for you.
Sure.
Why is it so important to figure this out as a dental practice owner?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that probably comes up the most because your single largest expense item is your team, right, in your dental practice. And your single biggest asset is also your team. So, you know, making sure that they're well taken care of is something that's crucial to any well-run dental practice. You can't have a well-run dental practice without having a great team all on board, rowing in the same direction, you know, all together sharing the same vision, right?
Right, absolutely. Now, let's just go there, because if you're a dentist and you're starting it up now, I'm going to kind of start and I'm going to lead you with some of these questions because you know how this all works.
Sure. And
you're going to flesh this out, because I asked you before we went live, is there a right answer for, is it, you know, salary or hourly? And your answer typically is what?
Well, it depends, and there is no right or wrong answer. And I think you have to look at the bigger picture in a lot of cases. You know, and we can talk about some different scenarios, right, where one may make sense, or you know, pitfalls in one way, shape, or form. Myself, you know, dental practices typically like to work the same number of hours every week, right? And so ultimately, myself, I personally, if I were to own a dental practice, I would have people on salary, and I would be aware of some of the pitfalls along that go along with that, that go along with having team members on salary. So.
Yeah.
That would be my personal answer, what I would personally do.
Okay. So my personal answer was this, is that I always tend to like salary better than hourly, because my personal opinion, again, as I've just observed and worked with practices all over, is that you get, you know, hourly effort with hourly salary or hourly wages. And with salary, a lot of your problems go away. Now, that isn't always necessarily true. We're going to have to flush this out. But even if you came to work at ACT Dental, one of the first things that you know is you only get paid once a month. We eliminate all the other stuff that happens. So payroll happens on once a month. And we really try to get an all-in effort on how we work here. Nobody's watching the clock. People work hard. I always want them to respect the boundaries in their lives, but there's certain downsides. Can we talk about the downsides and the upsides of each hourly and salary?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Where do you want to start? Do you want to start on salary?
Or let's go to salary first.
Yeah,
let's go salary first.
Yeah, I think one of the big things is you had alluded to, people have to respect the boundaries, right? And I think one thing with salaries is that people have a tendency, just human nature, to feel like they have to be on all the time, right? Mm-hmm. You know, constantly on and constantly working and constantly plugged in. And so it's really hard, I feel like, from a behavior standpoint, especially in an industry that's actually predominantly hourly wage earners, right? So it's hard to transition from that hourly mentality and feel okay with being quote unquote off the clock, even when you're just paid, you know, once a month, as an example, right? You know, when you're paid one set amount every single month. On a salary basis, or every other week, or whatever that time frame is.
Right. So then you also have to be more, you know, very cognizant of the labor laws in your state on the overtime issue, and then how often you have to give people breaks. I mean, is it true in the state of California, if people work 12 hours a day, you are required by law to give them 2 full-hour breaks? Now, again, this is not my area of expertise, but this is stuff I hear every single day talking to dentists. And the overtime issue can be a big deal, especially if you're a dentist that's not on time regularly and you're seeing patients after hours and things like that, and you ask your team to pick up extra days. Tell us about that.
Yeah, and that's a big thing, is that just because somebody's on salary doesn't eliminate them or make them exempt from overtime, what's called an exempt employee. And there's specific regulations and specific rules that make a team member an exempt employee as opposed to a non-exempt employee, where they're no longer subject to the overtime rules. But then on top of that, every state's grossly different. So California, like you said, Kirk, has one of the most stringent overtime rules. And so any time over 8 hours in a day is subject to overtime, as opposed to like a state like Missouri or Kansas or Wisconsin, where it's 40 hours in a week is where you start accruing overtime and have to start taking overtime into consideration. So depending on the state you live in, it may make sense to be salary, you know, to treat everybody on salary or to leave it hourly. Like in California, it'd probably be much easier just to leave team members on an hourly salary, just from a timekeeping perspective, because you're gonna have to do all the record keeping anyway. Make sure that you're paying overtime for any hours over 8 worked in a day, etc. But just because you're on salary doesn't necessarily mean that you're exempt from overtime. But
right. Now, again, probably one of the other things that you need to take in consideration looking at downsides and upsides of this is that if you're a dentist and you're looking for employment, one of the things that makes salary so easy is from a budgeting standpoint, you already know what your salary or your costs are going to be on a regular right. basis. It makes it easier to incentivize a bonus type system. I feel like it is. And then really the bigger thing is, what do you really want as an employer? Do you want people to have benefits? Do you want them to feel like they have a safe haven? Because that's the advantage as a dentist. You know, you really have to think about what your most important asset is. And I'm going to go off the rails on some of this stuff because it keeps coming up. And Howard Friant said it years ago. He said, dentists don't think accurately about this. You know, if it's going to take 20 to 25% of your expenses or 30% of your expenses, you got to do some training and invest in that. If you bought a piece of equipment that took that much expense, you would think to yourself, how do I best utilize this, keep this? I think one of the dangers as a dentist is thinking, oh, I can save a few pennies by doing this. Yeah. And really, you know the importance of retaining, keeping and engaging great employees, team members long term is really got to be a partnership.
100%. Yeah, you can run over dollars to pick up nickels all day long, but in the grand scheme of things, it's not going to end up, you know, it's not going to end up being in your best interest. What's in your best interest is to figure out what it is that motivates your team member. In any business is the exact same. Dentistry is no different, and I think that a lot of dentists in particular struggle with the concept of managing people. It's the biggest headache, right? In a lot of cases, quote unquote, it's the biggest frustration, it's the biggest expense item, and they don't see it as the biggest asset necessarily. And I feel like our clients who are most successful make that transition from, well, it's my biggest expense line item to it's my biggest single asset that I need to invest in. And therefore, with that, they're able to then, you know, take their practices to levels that they've never achieved, you know, previously.
Yeah, absolutely. I love how you use the word invest, because I heard Dan Sullivan from Strategic Coach say that. He said, don't look at your employees as a cost. That's an investment line item. While it might be on a different side of what you might think,
right.
It's still an investment, which you're going to get a great return when you start to think like that. But let's break this down, because I got this question even this morning. Like, if I'm running a dental practice, give me some perspective on where should my compensation cost be? Because you work with thousands of dental practices all over the country and doing their accounting. Let's start with the basics. Where should my team investment percentage be?
Yeah, so that's also going to depend on what area of the country you're in. So Midwest is going to be different than the coasts, as one example. But I would say, you know, typically speaking, when you're looking kind of as a nationwide average, somewhere in the 24 to 26% is what we would see for wages, for benefits, for taxes, for bonuses, et cetera, all, you know, whether hourly or salary, just kind of all in team compensation, somewhere in that 24 to 26 range on a national scale. So if you're on the coast, you're probably going to be a little bit higher, you know, 26 to 28 maybe. And if you're in the Midwest, you might be a little lower, somewhere in the 22 to 24% maybe. And so it really depends on the area you live in, cost of living, competitive nature. You know, hygienist, as an example, in Southern California, grossly different pay scale and grossly different pay structure than a hygienist in middle of Kansas, right? And so we run into that a lot, you know, because we work with so many dentists across the country in so many different states, we do see differences there. But I think the thing to remember is that ultimately your team members are an investment to make, and they should have key performance indicators that are tied to their success. That way you can understand, you know, what's going well and what's not going well. You can subjectively work with them to improve their performance objectively work with them to improve their performance, as opposed to subjectively, which so many people just subjectively say, well, I have a gut feeling that says you're not doing great or you are doing awesome, and there's really nothing to tie it to. The very first thing that we look at is when talking with clients about their overhead and about the success and health of their practice, one of the very first things we look at is the percentage of the overall overhead costs. And you start there and you start narrowing it down to, is it our hygiene department that's in the right or wrong area that could use improvement? Is it our front office? Is it our clinical assistants, et cetera? And then you start from there and saying, okay, how can we better incentivize, you know, people? Or how can we better, how can we make it make more sense for them to energize them? Maybe that is salary with a bonus plan. Maybe that is whatever, insert whatever compensation structure here. But that's the very first step of looking and saying, are we healthy or are we not, is absolutely looking at the grander scale from an overhead perspective.
Yeah, so go back to what you said before. Because I love what you said. Every team member should be given, I think it's like honoring a team member when they come in. They should be given a clear line of sight on what's expected. And you use the word key performance indicators. And so what I'm guessing you're alluding to is, like, if you're a hygienist, whether you pay hourly or salary, they have to have a very clear, you said, not subjective, but objective way to know, am I doing well or am I not? And typically, Linda Miles taught this years ago, probably 30 years ago, that example in hygiene, the hygienists pay, they had to produce three times their salary.
Right. Yeah.
The conversation comes up, does it include the doctor's exam? Now, that's a whole other thing, but is that what you're referring to, is like giving us some really clear parameters?
Yeah, absolutely. So something like in whether three times the salary makes sense, 30 years ago it probably did, because there was hardly any PPO plans involved, right?
Right.
And so I think that, when you're looking at a fee-for-service practice, does that make more sense? Yeah, probably so. That doesn't necessarily mean that it's wrong. I think that what's most important is to look at any point in time, where are your numbers at? Where are your key performance indicators at for your particular practice at that point in time? And then how can we continually turn the dial just ever so slightly in order to improve there?
Yeah.
And to your point for hygiene, things like your total productivity, right? Things like productivity per hour, like perio, there's a multitude of different things that key performance indicators that drive the productivity and therefore the profitability of the hygiene program and the hygiene department specifically. And those are the things that you would want to look at. And every hygienist, theoretically speaking, would have their own dashboard that they can then see, how am I doing? Where am I at in relation to the goals that are set for me, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, because we've all been there. The problem that every business owner has is that you just go, okay, and it's too subjective. And then you get upset later on when things aren't working, but it's not the team member's fault. It always falls back on the business owner.
Yeah.
It's kind of like your kids not having a report card at school.
It's
a teacher, how are they doing? They're like, I don't know. I need a grade. Like, am I good or not good? I think it's just one of those things that's mutually beneficial for sure. Both teamers. Now, let's go a little bit further into the details. So when you're talking about team compensation being 24%, 26%, and again, I'm opinionated on this, but typically, do you see, Drew, when you're looking at wages for team members, when your team compensation gets up to be 33% or 35%, Frank Spear said this years ago. He said, look, I'll just tell you, nobody's happy. You're going to find team members aren't happy about compensation. Yeah. Doctors aren't happy because you're starting to eat into profitability. And it's not that you overpay people. It's the fact that your business doesn't collect enough to be able to support those payrolls. It's just a very dangerous zone. A lot of practices don't have systems in place, because typically what dentists think is, oh, I overpay people. No, your business isn't efficient enough. That, because some people can have two people at the front. Other dentists in the same operation would say, no, I want five up front. I just like having somebody come off the bench and help when we're stressed. Do you find those, we're making generalizations, but I want to give people watching some idea of where they should be and how this plays into their decision making.
Right. And I think that, Kirk, that's a fantastic question. And ultimately, when our clients and our client advisors are working with their clients, when they get that question, the very first thing they look at is it an overstaffing issue, or is it an hourly rate, right? Or is salary too high compared to the same job somewhere else? And rarely do we ever see it that it's an hourly rate issue. A lot of times it goes back to, you've got the amount of people that you have. Do your collections tell you that that's the right number of people? Or vice versa, are you collecting what you could or should based on your physical space, the size of your facility, the number of chairs that you have, and the number of people that you have? And if you're not hitting your collection goals as a practice, either as a producer, the dentist, single largest producer in the practice, or as a practice as a whole, do you have a marketing issue? Do you have a hygiene,
right,
recare issue? I mean, you start going down the rabbit hole really quick on a lot of different areas that are potential areas of improvement that all stem from, well, I think I pay my team members too much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I guess what we're trying to say is, number one, just have a really good idea of where your costs are at first before you start making a decision, because you can go down that rabbit hole. I'm just paying people too much, or
very much so.
They, you know, everybody's got to have a good job description or, you know, position agreement in place and have a clear line of sight of whether or not they're successful and how that plays in. Now, let's just talk about why a dentist might do hourly. And I get it, because, you know, if you're a young dentist and you're adding an op, and you may not have enough days for your practice, and so you might be having either a hygienist come in a couple days or an assistant just to come in, you could make an argument that we're going to pay people hourly, correct?
Yeah, if you've got for instance, a startup is a fantastic scenario, where maybe you're only open 3 days a week and you've got, you know, limited time for an assistant or limited time for a hygienist, and you want to group your hygiene patients all together. Every situation is grossly different. I think the single biggest driver of why people choose, dentists specifically choose to pay their team members on hourly, is just that's because what's always been done, right? I mean, that's what the industry is used to. That's what they're used to. They probably either one of two things: bought the practice from somebody else, and that's probably what they were doing, or they started it from scratch, and just what they were told to do, right?
Right. Wait. You know, I love you, so I'm just gonna go there. Like, so you're saying people use the seven most expensive words in business?
That's right.
I just have to do it this
every
way
day,
because that's the way it was. We've always done it, like, you know, and that, so that becomes the primary driver for a lot of the decision makers when it comes to that?
100%. Yeah, 100%.
That's not a good reason.
No, it's a terrible reason, right? That's why it's one of our core values is to continuously improve, right? So it's a matter of challenging the status quo. And I think as an organization, our core values. And so for me, that, you know, that's something that's just not necessarily, it's not something that I, you know, I would want to live, you know, in an organization or live my business life out as, simply because when you're not continuing improving or challenging the status quo, you know, things become stale and things become stagnant. You know, naturally your morale is going to decrease. People are going to become complacent. Things are, you know, your marketing is going to go stale, right? So therefore your new patient flow is going to be challenged and drop off eventually. So there's just so many reasons to not just sit around and say, well, that's the way it's always been done.
Okay, so now I'm going to challenge you, because this is going to happen. Somebody's watching this and going, okay, so I was that practice that was getting my practice started, and I totally get that, but now I'm going to convert to hourly. Walk us through that. Like, how the heck do I get out of this? I was hourly, now I want to move to salary.
Sure.
Because
sure,
we're starting to scale. You know, I've got another op, we're growing. Like, does that happen? Do you get those phone calls?
Yeah, absolutely. And especially when it comes to like bonus structures and coming up with compensation plans, and helping ferret out, you know, whether or not a compensation plan is reasonable or not, I think is probably the single largest area that we get questions on. And I think one of the things that you have to look at and say, it's really important to make sure that your team is taken care of and they know they're taken care of, and that they don't take a step backward. And so ultimately, what you don't necessarily, if you want to keep your team morale high, what you don't want to do is come in on Monday and say, hey, guess what, guys? I have a fantastic idea for you. We're all going to go to salary. And by the way, it's 50% less than what you would have made hourly, right? Terrible idea. Absolutely terrible idea. So you don't want to do that. So the very first thing that you would want to do is you just map out and say, okay, last year, what did each of my team members make? How many hours did they work? And if they worked, you know, average of 32, 33 hours a week, 36 hours a week, and they were paid X, whatever X is, then you'd say, you know what, let's start there as a salary amount. And then on top of that, let's dangle a carrot out and say, what was our average monthly production or average monthly collections last year? So let's increase that by 10% or 15% or 20% or whatever that number is. And let's make that our bonus mark, with that if everybody works together and we increase our collections by 10%, everybody shares in a bonus pool. Or something to that effect.
Yeah. You know what I mean? So, you know, if you're a young dentist and you're watching this, you're probably like, okay, easy for you to say, but I've got a big team. Now, here's one thing that dentists often aren't told, and I believe this, and tell me, I always want you to debate this, but one of the things you have to understand is when you're employing people, you have to understand they need the security and consistency of a paycheck. Most team members, when they hear a dentist is doing better and they might be paid hourly and the dentist says, I want to take a little bit more vacation next year, they start to panic because their first thought is, well, how is that going to affect
my paycheck? How am I going to get paid? Right.
Yeah. How am I going to get paid?
Is my PTO bank increasing? Or?
Oh, totally. Totally. And so, you know how this works. Like, I think one of the things is that I'm on the side where as soon as you can go to hourly, because I don't like the seven most expensive words in business, and I love my team. Plus, I want them to get the benefits. Plus, I want the consistency of running a business, knowing my payroll. I also want to be able to go away on vacation and everyone still gets paid. Yeah. All those problems go away. They still work while you're not there, depending on your employment agreement. I just feel strongly that, like, over time, you know, if there's a way where you can do it, where you get what you want out of your life as a business owner, is you get the consistency and the freedom that you want from your dental practice, and your team members get what they want. Now, here's another thing. No dentist knows this. Your team needs you to go away.
Yeah, they do. They need you to go away big time.
They need you to go away.
Your kids do, and believe it or not, you do too. You need to go away and unplug and recharge.
Yes. So
mental clarity breaks are so important. So important.
So what other pitfalls are we not aware of as a, you know, as a dentist or as a business owner?
Honestly, the biggest one is definitely going to be the failure to pay overtime to folks that when overtime is actually due. You know, just because they're on salary doesn't mean they're exempt from overtime. So that's definitely going to be the biggest one.
All right, now go back to that, because you mentioned exempt or non-exempt. Now, that comes up a lot. Can you just describe that, what that is?
Like, yeah, so it's going to vary by state largely, but ultimately an exempt employee is going to have like a professional designation. So like, for instance, in Kansas, hygienists are actually exempt employees. And so you could pay them on salary. They're not subject to overtime. And that's written into the labor laws here in the state of Kansas. It's going to be different in every state, but usually it's professional designations. Usually there's a management. So if they're managing a certain number of additional people underneath of them, then and have, from a direct report perspective, then they can be considered exempt as well. Hourly front office person, clinical assistant, where they're just basically being told exactly what to do and how to do their job and when to do their job, and not in any kind of management capacity in any way, shape, or form. Those are the folks that are always going to be classified as non-exempt employees.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, and then as far as employee benefits too, you know, in retirement planning, if you do some type of incentives for your employees, you're always going to run into those, you know, limitations with part-time employee. But again, it just goes back to the vision of the business owner. Is that something that's important to you? Is it not important to you? All of that kind of stuff.
For sure.
So let's say I'm a dentist and I don't know my overhead. Where do I start? Like, where do I start with any of these questions?
Sure. I mean, ultimately, if you're a dentist and you don't know your overhead, I would start with your profit and loss statement, right? And you start to make sure, one, that it's set up properly to be able to understand your functional areas of your practice and make sure that you have certain areas broken out. So like your personnel expense, for instance. So what we do is we've designed our profit and losses to be able to be used as a tool by both the dentist and the coaches at ACT, for instance, or our client advisors working with their clients on an ongoing basis to be able to say, okay, here's the areas in your practice where there's it's weak, so there's areas of opportunity to improve your overhead in total. So whether that's your personnel expense or your production expenses, your facility expense, or all the other general administrative expenses that take to run your business, right? Because it is a business, you have to run your business, put food on the table, so which means you need cash at the end of the day. So I would start with your profit and loss and ask yourself, like, is this information helpful? And if the answer is, yeah, kind of, or maybe not really, then maybe seek out help from somebody who can make it, help you understand it better and make it a useful tool. It should be something that would be a useful tool to you.
Yeah, and absolutely. And the question always comes up with, how do I pay an associate? Is that in overhead? Maybe you can speak to that a little bit. Or I've got these big debt payments. You know, I bought this practice and I paid several hundred thousand dollars for it. Is that considered overhead? Those questions come up all the time. Maybe you could talk a little bit just about what the difference between a profit and loss statement is and cash flow. I mean, give us the simplified version. Obviously, I'm going to have you back and go through it.
Sure.
We're going to have you back and how to, you know, actually read a balance statement and cash flow. But can
That'd
you speak to that?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, the associate expenses, you have to look at it and say, okay, is this your accountant reading your statements or is this you as a business owner understanding your cash flow? Two totally different things. Or could, you know, they have some inner working, but you know, grossly two totally different things. Your associate expense is definitely a part of your overall overhead of your dental practice because it's an expense that's being paid out, right? But if you were to look at and say, you know what, I want to know what my overhead is and I want to be able to compare it against this practice, that overhead is really truly going to be limited to, you know, your personnel expenses of your hygienist, your front office, your clinical assistants, your production expenses, your facility expenses, your general administrative expenses. And you say, okay, I add all those up and I'm at 51%. Perfect. That's a wonderful overhead for a, you know, the average typical general dentistry practice out there. You know, most likely you're probably in the 60 to 65% range, right? But that's just what we see overall. But if you're, you know, if it's 55, 50, wonderful. That's awesome. And then you start to say, okay, but my associate expenses are 10% of my overall collections. Well, that's normal, and you can, and I can appreciate that. You have to then look at and say, okay, well, if I didn't have that associate there, what would my expenses be? What would my collections be? You're probably going to see that they're significantly less. But your overhead and your expenses, depending on who's having the conversation, are going to be totally different things. When you say that comes up, Kirk, it's like, well, who's asking? Maybe that's a better way to understand who your audience is, you know?
For sure. And so, you know, this is one of just many conversations you and I are going to have as we break down some of these financial components. But this question comes up so many times, hourly, you know, salary, and hopefully we've given you some good structures for that. I also, before we let you go today, I know you got a lot going on, but I want to just ask you, in the midst of a year like this with the pandemic, now we're coaching a lot of offices and they're having record like reopening months, but what are you seeing out there and what are you hearing on the street as far as the economy and what dentists are experiencing? Because you have these conversations every day. What, like, give us some sense of where we're at right now.
Yeah, we do. And our, you know, our client advisors work with a set amount of dentists that are out there in particular areas. And so it's really kind of the feeling from a lot of people, the news from a lot of different people is we're seeing our clients having record-breaking reopening months as well all over the place. And I think it really comes down to the 80-20 rule. And what we're seeing is that probably 80% of people are, and the ADA is talking about the other 20% that aren't for whatever reason, you know, that are struggling so much. But what we're talking with a lot of our clients with is, okay, use this as an opportunity to refine your systems. And, you know, at the point in time you're shut down, use it as an opportunity to refine your systems and processes, make sure that you understand what's going on in your practice, et cetera. Use this time now when you're looking at and you're saying, okay, my October hygiene schedule is looking a little light because we got so many people in and they're not due again until maybe the end of the year, maybe the beginning of next year. Let's use this as an opportunity to reactivate patients that haven't been seen in the practice in a while and really go on a big campaign in order to grow our overall active patient base, because you've got probably hundreds of them that have been seen in your practice in the last 5 years that haven't been in the last 12 months. And so that's, I feel like that probably at this point in time is one of the largest areas for potential improvement. In opportunity in the course of the next 60 to 90 days for at least for most clients that we've seen.
Yeah. Now also too, can you give us, as we get into the last quarter of the calendar year and this being a pandemic, which none of us have had any financial pandemic training, you know,
No, nobody has.
Is there anything from an accounting side, tax side of things, or just something dentists should know just on the planning side of things as you get in the last quarter that would be of advantage to them in running their practice?
Absolutely. Absolutely. If you don't have a CPA that you've been working with that does tax projections and tax planning with you and works with you on aggressive tax strategies, I would highly recommend this be the year that you look out, spend the time, effort, and energy to find somebody. We belong to a group of CPA firms across the country that only work with dentists. So if you want somebody in your area, you can go to the academyofdentalcpas.org. If you want, we're always happy to have a conversation, take a look at your returns, talk to you about things that maybe you could be doing better. You can visit us at engageadvisors.com, www.engageadvisors.com. But I think this year is going to be the year that a lot of people weren't necessarily expecting a big tax bill because of they thinking to themselves, well, our revenue, we're closed for 2 months, our revenue was down, so how in the world am I going to owe a bunch of taxes? And I think a lot of people are going to be surprised and see that unless Congress or the IRS really changes their stance on the CARES Act, is that a lot of people are going to end up with tax bills they weren't expecting this year.
Right. Great advice, buddy. Great advice. So
get out there and talk to your CPA ASAP.
Yeah. Now, again, I'm biased too. If you're looking for a great CPA and you don't have one, Drew is your guy. I always appreciate our friendship and just how you're always helping us and our clients. And so, if you're struggling trying to figure this stuff out as a dentist, don't struggle. Raise your hand. Don't be afraid to say, hey, look, I need some help. You can either call us, at Act Dental Practice Coaching, or Drew, we're always here to help you and finish the year strong. And just always remind you, you're walking into the greatest profession ever. You have a ton of people here to help every step of the way. It's a very noble profession. And Drew, I always like to end everything we do with just a good word. Let's say I'm a 32-year-old dentist and I'm just watching this for the first time. Tell me what I'm up for the next three decades. What would you say to a young, I tell kids all the time, you're walking to the greatest profession ever, but what would you say to a young dentist right now?
For sure. No, I've heard you say that, dozens, if not 100 times at this point in time. And honestly, it's true. There's so much flexibility. You have complete and total control of where you're going. I think that the most important thing, it's kind of like just building a house, right? So you have to have a strong foundation, a well-laid, well-planned-out foundation. And also, I don't know how many baseball fans there is, but it's a lot like good baseball. We're not looking for home runs constantly. We're looking for those hits, right? So you're just constantly hitting base hits. And what you're going to see is you're going to see your net worth skyrocket over time. You're going to see that you have a much happier work-life balance. You're going to see that you have a much happier team and morale for your team members. And overall, you're just going to feel a lot more fulfilled. In most cases, again, 80-20 rule, right? That's
absolutely. Amen, brother. Amen, brother. Well, as always, like I said, we're going to have you back and we're going to cover a lot of different topics in the many weeks to come. If you're watching this right now, just do us a favor. Keep sending us suggestions for things that you want to see. We will be having a COVID-19 dental conference reunion, and that's going to be coming up here in September. So pay attention there, and you'll see a lot of the great key opinion leaders like Drew and all of our great friends that were showing up during this difficult time in dentistry. We'll keep shooting these, and if you have suggestions for things that you even want to see from Drew here in the future, send them to us because we're lining them all up right now. But for today, that's all we have for this week. We'll be back again next week with an amazing episode of the Best Practices Show. Until we see you again, you guys enjoy the rest of your day. Everybody have a great day. We'll see you next time.